Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son, sending him into the world to be given up for all, knowing we would bruise him and smite him from the earth. Hallelujah, my Father, in his death is my birth. Hallelujah, my Father, in his life is my life. Those words probably sound familiar to you. This old praise song that we have sung here so many times over the years is rolling through my mind the Sunday of the cross, as Jesus tells us in John's gospel how he will die for us. But the song is very personal for me as a Christian, and I pray that in the next few minutes you will bear with me through my story. 100 years ago, there were no trees on the beach down front, only white Florida sand. And I'll tell you that that was still true half a century later, 50-odd years ago, in a picture that I found of my little son playing on the beach with my father, the two together, down in front of our home. It would have been the summer 1963, I suppose, just before the Navy sent us off to, transferred us to Japan. Now, because my house by the sea is for sale, we've taken most everything out, and so I no longer have a table and chair on the upstairs front screen porch, and I miss that view, and I miss that spot. I miss sitting there and musing, thinking, being grateful for life and death, for the lives and love that circle around me and my place. But I'm sitting on the downstairs front porch now, and I'm looking out across beyond Davis Point to Shell Island and the scene that my family would have loved when they lived here in my house 100 years ago after building this place. My father's brother, my Uncle Alfred, was written up on the front page of the local newspaper, St. Andrews Bay Times, St. Andrews, Florida. It was a time when the two, Panama City and St. Andrews, were separate towns. And this issue is June 22nd, 1916. It's entitled Delightful Gulf Party. And the article reports, Monday evening, a party of young people with large baskets well filled boarded a launch and sped across the bay to the Gulf, where several hours were spent very pleasantly bathing, emptying those baskets, and enjoying themselves only as young people can. And it says those constituting the party were, and it names, besides the obligatory chaperone in those days, 10 girls and 9 boys, including Alfred Weller, my father's older brother, my Uncle Alfred. It goes on to say they returned to St. Andrews in the wee small hours of the night, feeling that time had passed only too soon. You see, my father missed that party. He was only 4 years old at the time, four, nearly five, but Alfred was 16 when that front page party happened. And I'll tell you, I never met Alfred, but I bet he was in love with one of those cute girls, and I know that I certainly was in love with a cute girl when I was 16. She may be in the room here, I don't know. The sea seems eternal, doesn't it? Nothing changing about the sea, the same waves washing and lapping ashore on my beach now, just as it was on the same beach then, 100 years ago. My grandparents and their son Alfred and two daughters, Evelyn and Ruth, had moved here to St. Andrews from Pensacola in 1908 or 1909. And my grandfather owned Bay Fisheries, which was located where Landmark Condominiums is today at Beach Drive and Frankfort Avenue. Bay Fisheries was part of the major fishing industry that was St. Andrews before Panama City even existed. Bay Fisheries were the half dozen or so 70-foot twin-masted schooners that were called fishing smacks that brought in enormous catches of grouper and red snapper from far out in the Gulf of Mexico. Some of you know the story, know my story, which is the center of my gospel testimony this morning. And one of those schooners, Annie and Jenny, was caught in a storm out in the Gulf, and the rudder was damaged. And my grandfather decided that she had to be taken down to Carabel for repairs. Imagine having to take anything to Carabel for anything. Have you ever been to Carabel? I have many times. And it's the end of the earth. But the world was so different in those days. And about 2 o'clock, the bitter cold morning of Monday, January the 7th, 1918, the fishing schooner Annie and Jenny sailed for Carabel with Captain Caton and his crew of 5, included among them my Uncle Alfred, who was aboard as the owner's son. And Alfred was aboard because he wanted to go, and my grandfather overruled my grandmother and let him go. My grandmother was a worrier. My grandmother had asked Alfred to go to Carabel the next day by train, but teenage boys are immortal, and all parents' fears and worries are silly nonsense. And a teenager knows everything, and Alfred scoffed and laughed at his mother. Mothers are supposed to worry about sons growing up into the world. And if you are a mother, or if you are a son, then you know that. And so the Annie and Jenny left the wharf in St. Andrews after midnight, I suppose, to catch the tide. I don't know. My father, in telling me the story, never told me why they left at that hour, about 2 o'clock in the morning. I do know, because my grandmother told me the story many times, that the night was bitter cold. And, of course, it was 1918, and that was well before the pass was cut across the peninsula that created Shell Island. And so boats went between the bay and the gulf by way of what we call the Old Pass. It's closed now. Heading out the pass, at least one of the channel navigation lights was not operating. And this made for dead reckoning, which was risky navigation any time, but especially at night. And in the pass, the vessel hit a heavy squall, a storm, creating high waves and huge breakers. There's an account of this on the front page of the January 8th, 1918 St. Andrews Bay News. It's available online. In the pass, before entering the Gulf, the schooner was lifted high by a wave and smashed down on a sandbar, breaking her keel and causing her to start breaking up. And in the next few minutes, she broke to pieces. Of the 6 men aboard, 2 survived. In the heavy seas, everyone else was swept away and drowned, including my Uncle Alfred. When the news got back to St. Andrews the next day, my grandparents were crushed. They were devastated beyond anything I could ever say to you. It was written up as the worst tragedy in the history of St. Andrews, 1918. Alfred was 18 years old. My father was 6 and a half years old. Time passes. 5 years later, 1923, my grandparents' grief, and especially my grandfather's guilt, had not even begun to heal. And they sold the house, my mom and pop's house, Alfred's house, my house, packed up and moved away to Georgia to get as far away from the sea as they could. But there's something about the sea that draws a man, and you cannot escape. The family stayed a few years up in Georgia, and then they moved down to Central Florida, and then eventually via Valparaiso back to Pensacola, which is where they started. And there in Pensacola, my father and mother met as neighbors in East Hill, that neighborhood of Pensacola, and as students at Pensacola High School, and they fell in love. This was before my grandparents finally moved back here to St. Andrews to stay. My father and mother married June 11th, 1934, and 15 months later, I was born. This is the Sunday of the cross. It's the Sunday of the cross. We got a hint in today's gospel, Jesus telling us how he's going to die for us. We will hear that complete horrifying story next week, Palm Sunday. And again on Good Friday, I hope you'll come to all those wonderful services. But today, Jesus tells us how he's going to die that we might live. This is the Episcopal Church. We preach Christ crucified because Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. Because he died, you have your birth, you have your life, and you have your eternal salvation. Jesus died that you might live, that I might live. In his death is my birth. I've been through nearly 30 years of EFM, Education for Ministry, and learned to do theological reflection, not only there in class, but in the course of my life. And I find that theological reflection lays a humbling gospel for me, not always easy to grasp, until I reflect on how personal the gospel is. I have my life solely because another man died, and his death is my birth. If my Uncle Alfred, my father's brother, had not died that night, I would never have been born. My life is born in death and tears because of love. The story that I tell you this morning is not to make you sad or tear up and weep. My story helps me realize and deeply understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I owe my birth to the death of another. And I ask that you not get me wrong. I do not accept the old shibboleth that everything happens for a reason. I do not believe that. I do believe that God can and does bring victory and glory and blessings out of life's worst nightmares, even death. I tell you my story this morning so you can look deep into your own life. Someone died for you. My Uncle Alfred never knew me that night that he died. God did not cause that storm and that shipwreck so that I might be born. That's blasphemy. Jesus on the cross suffered terribly at the hands of sinful men. Jesus never knew you as he hung on the cross and died on Calvary's Hill. But if the gospel is true, and I'm here to testify to you this morning that the gospel is true. If the gospel is true, then you are here this morning. You were born. You have your life and your eternal salvation because he died that you might live. It's that simple. Lent. Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son. In his death is my birth. Alleluia. Amen.